As you will see from the title slide, we're going to stick with the theme that we started on last week, last Sunday, a theme on friendship. But before I jump into it, I guess a couple of words just to, I think, set the scene for us, and it's related a little bit to what Caroline has shared this morning. We'll be holding a vision night here next month, as she has said, and really a number of us sensing that there is the beginnings of new life, a new season of growth in any number of different aspects of our life together. And I guess in terms of a symbolic sign of that, something about the replacement of an old kitchen and a new one being brought in is, I think, is a very, very apt starting point. My wife and I watch a lot of television renovation shows, and one in particular, it's called Property Brothers. Has anybody seen Property Brothers? These two Canadian brothers, they're a set of twins. And they go in and they do wonderful things in battered down, ruined old houses. And of course, 9 times out of 10, the story is the same thing. They go in, knock walls down, they uncover problems, often asbestos. But when they reveal the house, the home of the house, what is it? Well, it's this new, all-singing, all-dancing kitchen. Makes me a little jealous, I have to admit. Maybe I should stop watching it, because I sometimes look at my own little kitchen and think, I'd like a big, massive island to go in the middle of it. But I think if you stuck an island in our kitchen, there would be no kitchen left, unfortunately. But it's something about the importance of a kitchen. It's the heart of the home. Isn't it? In all our homes, the kitchen is the heart of the home. And I think that what the Lord is about, is, and always has been actually about, is about building a home. The act of creation itself, we're told, was, in a sense, the act of creating a home. Creating a home in which God and people would, well, they would be together. They would rule this world together in harmony, in loving relationship with our Creator, with one another, and the ground on which He has set us upon. And I think that there's something really, really important for us, that the first step is, in a sense, it's addressing the heart of the home and putting in something that is fit for purpose. And from that place, well, we grow a family, don't we? Very, very difficult, for example, to grow a family in your home if the kitchen isn't right, isn't it? You can't really live there. Very, very difficult if stuff's breaking down in the heart of the home. But that's the place in which we grow. And I think that that's one of the words that's surfacing and emerging in the life of our community, as a number of us are praying and seeking the Lord at the moment, is that it's a season of growth, and that will, I think, it'll begin to manifest itself and show itself in any number of different elements and aspects of our life together. It'll begin to show up in the very fabric of our building. We will begin to see things grow and change and develop, and say the kitchen is just the first sign of that. But I have to say this, and it refers back to something I put up on the screen last week, is that the kingdom of God is a movement, but it is a movement that only moves as fast as relationships. At its heart, at its core, the kingdom of God is a movement that's built on relationships. It doesn't stay there. It's not constrained to that. It includes many, many other things, but it's built upon that. And actually, it is not dependent on whether we have brand new stuff in our home, though that's what we're seeking for. It's actually dependent on another more foundational development in the heart of the home of our own lives, which is our relationship with the Lord. and our relationship with one another. Everything else is built on those two things. Absolutely everything is built on those two things. And I wonder, in fact, I don't wonder, I know, I am confident in this, that the thing that the Lord is asking us to attend to in this season of our lives, both individually and our lives together, is the state of our hearts toward Him, the state of our relationships with one another, but with Him first and foremost. And as I was saying last week, that when I was praying through what the Lord wanted me to share with you guys, with us as a family over this next month or so, then the two simple things were these things. That Jesus desires friendship with us. And that's the word that He guided me to. There's many ways where we could describe and talk about our relationship with the Lord, but friendship was the one He asked me to focus upon. And to say to us, I desire friendship with you. And in the same breath, and in some ways saying the same thing slightly differently, but not to break friendship with me. Do not break friendship with Jesus. He desires friendship with us, but don't break the friendship with Him. And I want to just stay with this. Jesus' desire to be friends with us. I want to stay with that today, because I think that Jesus, through His word and through the ministry of His word, is expressing His desire for friendship with us through that. I think that's what He is saying to us at this moment in time. So let's turn to the text that we read through last week. It's found in John chapter 15, 9 through till 17. It's John chapter 15, 9 to 17. If you want to follow it on your own device or your own Bible. And let's just pray as we turn to this word. And Lord, we pray that You would plant Your word in our hearts. And in planting it, You would tend to its growth. We ask and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. There's so much that we could take from that text, but I do want to return to those few verses that we focused on last week, where Jesus says to his disciples, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. And let me just remind you that at this point in John's gospel, we are at one of the high points of this particular gospel. It's the extension of friendship from Jesus to the disciples. An invitation to the top table. I used to watch a show on TV called Suits. It's about lawyers. And of course, one of the lawyers, what he really wanted more than anything else was to be made a partner. That's what he wanted. And of course, there was a moment, spoiler alert coming up, plug your ears if you want to watch it, but of course you know what's going to happen. After about seven series, He's made a partner. It's a high water mark in the show, isn't it? And it's a moment for celebration. He's been made a partner. And in our gospel that we've read this morning, it's kind of like one of those moments. Jesus is saying, I no longer call you servants because the servants don't know the master's business. I'm inviting you into friendship. Maybe at some point or other you've been given a promotion. Maybe you've been made a director in your company. You're invited into the top table. The places where all the big stuff is discussed. You're invited into that holy and sacred space. And in this particular moment in our gospel, what we see is a similar thing happening with the disciples. They are invited into the top table. They're being made a partner. They're being made a director in the firm. I can remember when I made my debut for one of my local football teams for the senior team. I played for the youth team. I played for the thirds. I played for the reserves. But now I was getting a shot at the senior team. I wasn't one of the wee lads running about anymore. I'd made it to the top. And in Jesus' offer, an extension of friendship, there's a similar thing happening in the gospel. But of course, it's easy to miss this as we read on because it sounds so casual. Let's be friends. Now, there's three words to crush your dreams. Let's be friends. I can remember a time when those words were uttered to me. It reminds me actually of my first crush. That's a word that's crept into our language over here in the UK, isn't it? A crush. You know what a crush is, don't you? Yeah? You ever had a crush before? Who remembers their first crush? Yeah? I can remember my first crush. I mean, a proper one when I'd got into my teenage years. It was actually my best friend's cousin, not to complicate things at all. And I asked her to come to the semi-formal with me. Actually, I must tell this. The longer story, of course, is this, is that for years and years, she had a crush on me, and I didn't bother with her. No. I'm too busy focusing on my football career to date you and to be distracted. But then, of course, we both of us got a little bit older, and I developed a crush on her. And so there was a semi-formal in our school coming up, and I saved up the money, and I asked her, would she come to the semi-formal with me? And she said yes. So off I went and got her a ticket. Have to admit, didn't have a clue what I was doing with girls in those days. Have to admit, probably still don't. But anyway, I asked her to go to the semi-formal with me, and what do you think she did? She jilted me at the semi-formal for another fella. Couldn't believe it. It wasn't me. It was her, she later explained. She preferred to just be friends, she explained, and that wasn't what I had in mind for the relationship. And in that sense, being friends felt a little bit like a distant second place at that moment in time. But of course, when we look at our text today, that offer of friendship, casual though it may sound, is not second best. It's an invitation to friendship with the Lord. An invitation into his mind and into his heart. An invitation to get in on his affairs. An invitation to get in on the stuff that he's doing with his kingdom business. And the offer of friendship that Jesus says to the disciples, that it's, I think, an extension to us, is not the runners-up prize. This is the greatest thing on offer. And it's open to each and every single one of us sitting in this room. But if I'm hearing the Lord correctly in this season of our life together, then I think that he is moving us into a season where he intends to grow his pool of friends. I think that he's going to grow his pool of friends here in Banbury. Now, that's not because he doesn't like the ones he has. But we know that the Christian faith is a missionary faith. It's not one that is to be kept to ourselves, but it's always pushing back the frontiers. It's always pushing back the boundaries. It always wants to get into the places where there are currently no friends. And start breaking new ground and making new friends. And this is the thing I've learned about being a friend with Jesus and a friend of Jesus over the years, is that he makes friends in some of the most unlikeliest of places. And he makes friends with some of the most unlikeliest of people. And I think in one sense, some of us sitting in this room are, well, we're testimonies to that, aren't we? That he'd befriend some of the strangest of folk. And I think that Jesus is moving us to a place where he is going to extend his friendship pool. He's going to make new friends in our town and in the places that comprise it. And he's going to use us to do some of that befriending. But I've learned something else, I think, about the Lord in my years of following him, is that he tends to his own, first of all. Before growing his flock, he tends to the ones who are currently in it. And I think that the message that the Lord is giving us is quite clear. He's stretching out the hand of friendship to us. He's extending it to us all. And he's calling us to deepen our friendship with him. He's calling us, each of us, to deepen our friendship with him. But how we respond to that offer is something that we each make a determination on that. It's not something that's forced upon us. We're not compelled, but he gives us free rein to respond to that offer to the extent that we want to do so. But excuse me, folks. I came away from last week with a thought in my mind, having spoken a little bit about friendship, that it's not enough to tell people what they should be doing without at least trying to tell people how to do it as well. And you might rightly ask, both from last week and this week, well, yes, I do want a friendship with Jesus, but how do you build a friendship with Jesus? I think that's a good question to ask, even though I'm the one who's asking it right now. I would say that about my own questions, but if you are asking that question, then I think that that's a good question to be asked. And how do you build a friendship with Jesus? Well, during the week when I was preparing this message, and when I got to this point, the point that we're now at the sermon, in my own preparation, I began drafting out the midsection. And I come up with 3 points. Of course I come up with 3 points. I spent 3 years at theological college figuring out how to write sermons with 3 points. You would expect nothing less. And just to make things better, each of the 3 points had a letter beginning with T. Of course. Although I have to say the third one was a little bit contrived. I was at the end of my T's by the point of the third point. But I had put the sermon together, but when I reviewed it, it all sounded a bit abstract. The sermon, to me at least, sounded structurally sound, but lacking in warmth. Maybe you're saying, well, Stephen, that's exactly how it's coming across. It's not meant to be that way. But when I reviewed my own work, I found it to be structurally sound, but lacking in warmth. More than that, lacking in passion, which is not what friendship with Jesus looks like or feels like. So I set my work to the side, and I said, Lord, can you give me some help with this? Because I'm obviously struggling. And quite often I find that when I'm struggling to write a sermon, I do that. In fact, quite often when I find that I'm struggling with work in general, and I do that, the Lord actually does help. And I'm not being like cliched, but you should give it a go if you don't, because he does actually help. I have found that to be the case, not just with sermons, by the way, in all sorts of stuff in life. The Lord's not just interested in the church stuff, but in the whole of life stuff. But this was my work. And I simply asked, Lord, will you help me? And I felt that he did, simply by him asking a question of me, and it was this: well, how did you build a friendship with me? What's your story? And so I think the best thing that I can do today is simply share with you how I have been helped to build a friendship with Jesus. And it's not rocket science, actually. Some of you are better placed to do this, but it's my work this morning at least. So that's what I'm going to do. But before I do that there, I want to just say there's one significant caveat. I've been a follower of Jesus, a friend of his, for approaching 22 years now. You must be wondering, he can't be that old. No? There was a period in that time of 22 years, and it was a period of time for about 6 to 7 years when I drifted out of friendship with Jesus. I actually find it really quite painful to say that out loud. I don't like saying that out loud. I prefer to hide that away, or I would prefer to be one of those followers of Jesus that doesn't have that as part of their story, but I do, and there it is. I never thought I would do that, or I didn't think that I would be someone who would drift out of friendship with Jesus. And I want to return to that next week when we think about not breaking friendship with Jesus. But I say that there because I want to make it clear from the outset that whatever wisdom, whatever knowledge, whatever insight or experience I am able to share about nurturing friendship with Jesus, well, that comes first and foremost from Jesus befriending me, from Jesus reaching out to me, for Jesus helping and saving me, from Jesus not giving up on me, from Jesus being kind to me. In short, from Jesus being a good friend to me. And I can say this here with utter conviction that everything that I have in my life has been given to me by Jesus, who has been a friend to me. Absolutely everything. And that perhaps is the most important thing that I can say about friendship with Jesus. That when it's offered to you, you should accept it. Because certainly from my vantage point, it's the best thing that I have in my life, and it's the best thing that I have done. And if you've got it, don't discard it. Hold on to it and treasure it for what it is. But when I talk about or try to share some wisdom about what it looks like to nurture a friendship with Jesus, well, I reflect back on the time over 20 years ago when I first come to faith. And I was in a church something like this and was surrounded by people who were able to help me develop and nurture a friendship with Jesus. And perhaps the thing that has stood me the test of time, that's been the greatest benefit for me, was that I was in a tradition that taught me to deal directly with Jesus. A tradition that at its center was passionate about the fact that each and every single one of us has got the ability and the connection to deal directly with Jesus. You don't have to go through someone else. You don't have to kind of be a friend of one of Jesus' friends. You can deal directly with him. Now, that's not to say there's not a place for consulting with the Lord's people, but you deal with him first and foremost. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor at a church in Exeter. And as is the case with pastors, he has quite a lot of people looking to come and talk to him about a number of things. But he did something in the church, and they built a prayer room. And he said that anybody in this church can have an appointment with me whenever they like, but there's only one caveat. There's one thing that you have to do in order to get a meeting with me, is that you have to book yourself in for an hour in the prayer room and you talk it through with Jesus before you talk it through with me. I thought that was a great idea, by the way, and I'm thinking of doing it here also. Not that very many of you want to speak to me, it has to be said. My pastoral workload at this moment in time wouldn't warrant that. But he said this, that once he started doing that, that nobody wanted to speak to him anymore. And I think that he was on to something. You and I can deal directly with Jesus. And for me, I was brought up in a tradition that encouraged me to do that. And I'm not practically involved. An everyday devotional time with the Lord is as old-fashioned as it sounds, but encouraged to make the first thing of each and every single day time with the Lord. Give me a little bit of a steer and some resources as to how to do that, but largely left me up to my own devices, but kept on saying, this is what you do, this is what you do. Start your day with the Lord, everyday devotion. Read your Bible, get to know Jesus directly. Jump in, read the stories, get to know him. And I didn't know any better, so I just jumped in. I didn't know that I didn't know anything about the Bible. I just jumped in there, and the Lord makes himself known to you through it. Being filled with his Spirit, the tradition that I came to faith in emphasized this, that there was the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he would put his own life-giving power and personality inside of you. Again, I just accepted it at face value, and it kind of just happened. And of course, being a part of his people, being properly connected with Jesus' other friends, not something that we do in isolation. And over the years, simply from that foundation, I learned to talk to him. And the best way of learning how to talk to Jesus is simply just to talk to him. Don't be reading books about talking to Jesus. Just talk to him. It's not that difficult. You can do it. But talk to him about everything. Leave nothing out. Even the stuff that you would prefer not to talk about. Took me a little longer to realize this in relationship to Jesus, because I had a tendency to compartmentalize. Once I'd done the devotional time in the morning, the rest of the day was mine. It's not the way Jesus does friendship. But root all your decisions through him, the big ones and the small ones. Root all your thoughts through him, the noble thoughts and the not so noble ones. Root all your emotions through him, the tame and the bored ones, and the wild and the untamable ones. Put them all through him and filter all that stuff through the lens of his outlook and perspective. Do that long enough, and you figured out just that you're walking with the Lord. You don't always realize you're doing it as you're doing it, but you look back over a period of time and you find that you have been walking with the Lord and he with you. And of course, the flip side to that is not just talking to him, it's not just a one-way street, but we listen to him. And a simple thing for me in terms of my friendship with Jesus was learning just to be silent on a daily basis before him. Even just a small amount of time and small units of time during the day, 10, 15-minute blocks of time, 2-3 times a day, just listen to him. Sometimes he doesn't say anything, but I find that when I create the space on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis, the Lord says what he needs to say. All we need to do is create the time as friends to make sure that the space is there for him to use it. There have been challenges along the way in the development in my friendship with Jesus that have at times threatened my friendship with Jesus. All of those things, I have to say, are variations of what I imagine to be the same trials and temptations for all of us. The misuse and overemphasis upon money, of sex, of power and ambition. The stuff that is good in and of itself, but threatens to trip us up, threatens to cut off our friendship with Jesus. But Jesus, I find, helps us through all of these things. He forgives our misdeeds, and he leads us into new life as a friend. He protects the friendship. But I wonder, as I look back on my own friendship with Jesus, and I kind of look through the lens of some of your stories as well, as we talk together about what it means to follow Jesus, I wonder if there's a more casual danger than these three things, and it's simply forgetfulness. We just plain forget about Jesus half the time. And I think that that can be as destructive upon friendship as all the money and all the sex and all the power in the world put together. I'm about to land this sermon now. You'll be pleased to know I'm going to invite the band to make their way back to the front. But just in the moments that the guys are making their way back to the platform, I'm just going to invite you to take these moments just to take stock of your own friendship with Jesus. And I've put a short prayer on the screen. Maybe there's just something that the Lord by his Spirit has put his finger upon this morning in relation to your friendship with him. And maybe it's an encouraging word. You have walked faithfully, and he wants to deepen the friendship. Maybe you've drifted out of friendship with Jesus. Maybe other good things have got in the way of friendship with him. And as good as though they are, the gift is never to get in the way of the relationship with the gift giver. Or perhaps you just walk through life forgetful of the Lord. In these moments, I invite you just to quietly ponder the words of that prayer. It's simple, but the Lord will hear you as you pray. Lord, we quieten our hearts to listen to the words that we need to hear. Hearts that are drawing near, hearts that are resistant, hearts that are hard, hearts that are warm. But in this moment, Lord, we submit them to you. Would you draw us near to you? Lord Jesus, you are abundantly compassionate and unutterably tender. Bring us into friendship with you. And Lord Jesus, keep us in friendship with you. Merciful Jesus, forget not me as I have forgotten you. Perhaps we could pray those words together. Lord Jesus, you are abundantly compassionate and unutterably tender. Bring us into friendship with you, and keep us in friendship with you. Merciful Jesus, forget not me as I have forgotten you. Amen.